going to read a verse and purport from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7. Bahunam jamanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. Translation. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. And Srila Prabhupada's purport. The living entity, while executing devotional service or transcendental rituals, after many, many births, may actually become situated in transcendental pure knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. In the beginning of spiritual realization, while one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there is some leaning towards impersonalism. But when one is further advanced, he can understand that there are activities in the spiritual life and that these activities constitute devotional service. Realizing this, he becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrenders to him. At such a time, one can understand that Lord Sri Krishna's mercy is everything, and that he is the cause of all causes, and that this material manifestation is not independent from him. He realizes the material world to be a perverted reflection of the spiritual variegatedness, and realizes that in everything there is a relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Thus he thinks of everything in relation to Vasudeva or Sri Krishna. Such a universal vision of Vasudeva precipitates one's full surrender to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna as the highest goal. Such surrendered great souls are very rare. And it continues with Shvetashvatara Upanishad and Chandogya Upanishad references. Similarly, Lord Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is the prime entity in everything. In this body, there are powers of speaking, of seeing, of hearing, of mental activities, etc. But these are not important if not related to the Supreme Lord. And, last sentence, because Vasudeva is all-pervading, and everything is Vasudeva, the devotee surrenders in full knowledge. With further references, Bhagavad Gita 7.17 and 11.40. Initiation is a process of surrender. Submission. And because it's a relationship, it's a simultaneous acceptance of that submission from the Personality of Godhead. And that submission is appropriate, the disciplic succession through the representatives of Krishna. Prabhupada gives this nice example. Supposing there's an ambassador of some country, and the ambassador goes to a foreign country, and in that foreign country, they offer some gift Now, who does that gift belong to? A, the ambassador, or B, the country?
Country.
Real easy. If the ambassador thinks, oh, it's mine, he can be put in jail. He's the thief. It's meant for the country. As the representative of the country, the ambassador of that country, it's not his. So, similarly, in the process of initiation, there's submission unto the preceptor or the Diksha Guru. But that submission is meant for Krishna. And similarly, the acceptance is from Krishna. Now, there may be acceptance of the gift by the ambassador. Oh, thank you very much. In fact, here's some gifts for you. These are cultural things, you know, statesmanship, but cultural things that are included in worldly affairs. And in transcendental affairs, similarly, the acceptance. And within the culture of Krishna and Krishna's representatives, there are, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there are things that are given. A name is given, neck beads are given, tilak marking is given, traditionally with the of an individual, a deity that one may worship is given. And a branding, you know, the mark of Vishnu on the shoulders. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, for Lord Chaitanya was very merciful. He didn't require the branding program. But he, rather it was tapa. And tapa, he indicates, for followers of Lord Chaitanya, is the tapa of regret, of having wasted whatever the previous time in this lifetime and countless numbers of previous lifetimes. And with that, the impressions that go with those that misdirected free will choices and the impressions that come from that in the mind and cluttering the heart. So that tapa, or that regret for a Vaishnava, is purifying. Not lamentation, but regret, so that one can clear the way to move further to the light, or to the submission unto Krishna, recognizing that Krishna is very kind and Krishna's acceptance is there. So this verse in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate. How does this begin? How does one come to that Gyanavan? It's not simply many, many births. You count up the number of births and then the bell ringer, Gyanavan. You've learned your lessons because you've had enough births. That's not how it works. In Krishna's instructions to Uddhava in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very nice verse which indicates how that happens. Chapter 20. The chapter is pure devotional service. Here's what Krishna says to Uddhava. Yadrichchaya mat katadao jata shradhastu ya puman na nirvino nasti sakto bhakti yogo sya siddhita. Oh,
I wanted to emphasize specifically this word, yadidrichchaya. It appears here and there within the Vedas. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, not specific to this verse, but in general, in Madhurya Kandambani is one example, is what's the determining factor for a devotee to give bhakti, because the devotee has bhakti, a bhakta to give bhakti to someone else? What's the determining factor? And he says, yadrichchaya. It's inexplicable. Or Prabhupada's rendering of that is causeless mercy. What's the cause of the causeless mercy? It's causeless. Yadrichchaya, somehow or other. That same term is used, you know, for those of you that get asked, how does the jiva fall? Yadrichchaya. Somehow or other. Well, wait a minute, it doesn't make sense. It's so nice in the spiritual world. Why would we leave the spiritual world? Yadrichchaya. We can say misuse of free will. Okay, what's the cause of the misuse of the free will? Yadrichchaya. There's no good reason. It's a free will choice, but there's no good reason for it. There's a bad reason for it, but no good reason for it. It's inexplicable. Nirvachaniya, another term. You can't speak it. Vacha. Nirvachaniya. It can't be spoken. Well, wait a minute. Because we're accustomed to cause and effect. So here's Sankirtan devotee. And the Sankirtan devotee has the mission of giving the holy name or giving literature or the opportunity to contact devotional service. And there's this sea of people out there. What prompts the devotee to go to this person instead of that person or another person? Yadrichchaya. You know, sometimes it's known, anyways, devotees will go approach younger people because maybe younger people are more like open and flexible. And I was just reading some Sankirtan stories where someone from Toronto was in New Zealand and they found just the opposite. You know, the young people were aloof and the older people were interested. You can't judge a book by its cover. There was a period of time when a devotee, a godbrother named Preraka, and I would go distribute books together. And it was so much fun. We would stand together and look at the people that were passing by and try to pick the most unlikely person. So there, you distribute a book to them, and then you distribute a book to them. And then we'd laugh and go distribute the book to them. Most unlikely people. And then, you know, it was exhilarating, and like spiritually intoxicating. And we just spent the whole day doing that. Most unlikely people. Because it's not based on, you know, this yadrichchaya, it's causeless. Or It's the potency of the personality of Godhead is what makes it happen. It's not something else. So unlikely becomes possible because of descending mercy. So here's the translation of that verse: yadrichchaya mat katadao. If somehow or other, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories, such a person, being neither very disgusted with nor attached to material life,
should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me.
I'll read a bit of the purport.
If, somehow or other, one gets the association of pure devotees of the Lord and hears from them of the transcendental message of Lord Krishna as the chant of the Lord. As mentioned in the previous verse, those who become disgusted with material life take to impersonal philosophical speculation, very similar to what Prabhupada wrote in his Bhagavad Gita purport, and rigorously try to stamp out any trace of personal existence. Those who are still attached to material sense gratification try to purify themselves by offering the fruits of their ordinary activities to the Supreme. A first-class candidate for pure devotional service, on the other hand, is neither completely disgusted with nor attached to material life. He does not desire to pursue ordinary material existence any further, because it cannot award real happiness. Nevertheless, a candidate for devotional service does not give up all hope for perfecting personal existence. A person who avoids these two extremes of material attachment and impersonal reaction to material attachment, and who somehow or other gets the association of pure devotees, faithfully hearing their message, is a good candidate for going back home, back to Godhead, as described here by the Lord. That's the verse specifically is describing somehow one becomes attached to hearing the messages. That's a mature stage, attached. And there is, you know, before attached is some attraction, and before attraction is some regulation. And before that regulation, there's some association. This Yadidrich Chaya is operating at every little choices, just like a book distributor may approach somebody and they say no. And somebody else says yes. So in that dynamic of somehow or other, causeless mercy going here or going there, there's still submission. So both the descending mercy and the accepting of that descending mercy, progressing over a period of time, may come to this stage. Initiation is where there's acknowledgement of the candidates for initiation that they're very sincere. Sat in on a lecture, attended a lecture where Prabhupada was speaking about, it wasn't an initiation lecture, it was just a general lecture, and he was describing, you know, a room full of people, saying initiation is for people who are sincere. Then he said, there's the opportunity for everyone to hear. And after hearing, some may continue to hear, some may go away. And it was like explicit, Prabhupada was saying to the people in the audience, I know many of you aren't going to be here for long. Then he went on and said, but that's okay because there's permanent benefit, permanent asset that comes into the life of someone who even once just hears the holy name or hears the message of Krishna. There's no loss. Everyone can be engaged in that process. But initiation is for those who are sincere and serious. They want to continue. They do continue, and they want to continue further in the journey back to Krishna. So that's sustained submission, application of the hearing. The application of the hearing process means that it's applied in life. I live my life according to those messages that I have heard, sevaya,
tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadikshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. As we've been discussing, with faith, it certainly takes faith to carry on in devotional service. Not blind faith, but certainly faith. Faith where there's hearing the message, then the message enters, and one is requested or instructed in Scripture to carefully consider. Not just blindly accept, but carefully consider. And if there's some question about, you know, how to properly understand this or that, how does this fit with that? And like Arjuna does in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, before you said this, and now you're saying that. I'm confused. It seems contradictory. Can you clarify? Those kinds of inquiries are encouraged. So it's not blind acceptance, it's thoughtful acceptance. But I distinctly recall Prabhupada saying this on more than one occasion. That's appropriate, that kind of, you know, how do these things fit together is appropriate prior to initiation, and after initiation it's not so appropriate. In other words, not that inquisitive spirit has to be switched to the off position, but those seeking clarification on how does all of this work, you know, that sambandh again should be clearly in place, so that as one then goes further into the Abhideya again, the applying those teachings in a systematic way and a structured way and an organized way and under guidance and carrying forward and further and further. I'm reminded of a little an episode that one of the first times. One of the first times Prabhupada had us go to Mayapur, or invited the devotees to come to Mayapur. And what you see now is not what it was like in 1974. It was just open agricultural fields. You know, what we called at that time the long building that's now the Lotus building. It was just out in the middle of a field. And the temple was the other building that was there. And that's the conch building. Conch building? Yeah, conch building. It's just those two buildings standing in the middle of agricultural fields. And you look in any direction, it was just agricultural fields, except a little bit, Bhaktisiddhanta Road. And so, one day we were, the program for the festival that we were participating in was led by Achyutananda, and I don't know if you've ever heard any of his kirtans, but he was like really skilled in singing and mridanga playing, and so he just led us off in, you know, along the agricultural fields, going, you know, just endlessly kirtan through the fields of Mayapur. It's very nice. And then we came to one place. When you go there today, you won't see what we saw then. It was the Kolabachar Sridhar's place, or where he resided. Now that's, you know, in the back area behind Jagannath Mandir. But then it was just agricultural fields. And off in the middle of the agricultural field was a little stamba, like, you know, like this table, about that tall. And then on top was a little kind of a box. It was stone, column, and then on top was kind of like a wooden box. So he would, he, you know, we stopped there. He knew where it was. We just, you know, in the middle of agricultural fields and started. So we all sat down because he was going to give some kata about Kolavachar Sridhar and the significance of the place and the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya with Kolavachar Sridhar. You know, Hari Kata. And off from a distance, one man saw all these potential donors for his little shrine there. And he came out and, you know, opened the door and started clanging his bell and waving his incense right in the middle of the kata. And Nanda said, this is a classic example of Kanishtha Adhikari. They understand this is the Lord and the Lord is in the temple. They don't have any sense of the value of Hari Kirtan and Hari Kata. Both have their place, but you know, those who have the sense of Kanishtha, you know, this is insignificant. It's like we don't even exist. It's, you know, there's one thing, that's the deity. You go to the temple to see the deity, you say your prayers, you put something in the hundi box, and off you go. It, you know, those of the brahmacharis that live in the temple see it all the time. They don't want to hear anything. You give them some little prasad in the back, and that's fine, but, you know, that's Kanishtha. There's not appreciation for the process of devotional service beyond that, and, you know, acknowledging exactly as it teaches in scripture. You know, the devotees and honoring the devotees and different positions of elevated devotees and, you know, the madhyama, you know, the peer devotees and the less fortunate and giving mercy to the less fortunate. It's just, you know, the deity, like in a church or a temple or a synagogue or a mosque. You go to the place and you offer your prayers and off you go. God is there. God is there. And that's all I know. That's the Kanishtha mentality. So, very kindly, Prabhupada introduced all of us pronto, like from the get-go, in the next stage beyond the Kanishtha to the Madhyama stage, based on hearing and chanting. And based on hearing and chanting, his statement was, where there is life, then life attracts life. In places that were previously churches that had then become empty, many of our initial Hare Krishna temples were churches that had become empty. And now they're, Prabhupada's statement, now they're filled. Or, you know, daily, regularly, people would come for morning, evening, because why? Because there's life. And so, in the temple, there should be life. Not, you know, certainly worship of the deity done nicely, but the life of Hari Katha, Krishna Katha. And one who has faith in that, that's what this Krishna is teaching to Uddhava, somehow or another, if one develops faith in that, that somehow or other is the extending of compassion, the extending of the opportunity for hearing and chanting to those who can somehow or another say yes by their free will choice. And by that combination, one can come to this stage where it's the submission, the saying yes, and offering one's submission unto Krishna in the form of this Hari Katha, and the deity and the serving of the devotees and the Sankirtan. Formal submission into Krishna, acceptance. That's the significance of initiation. So I don't know if everybody in the room is aware, these two devotees. They're from the Dallas Temple, and their introduction to Krishna consciousness was through their kind brother, or his kind brother, the brother, but you're the older brother. Shankadari is the older brother. Could you say a little bit, some few words, of, we have a microphone, of, over there, Shankadari, raise your hand. Huh?
We have a recording from Nityananda Prabhu.
Okay, but you speak something. About, you know, some appreciation for your younger brother.
Okay, Maharaj.
This is spontaneous, by the way. It's not at all rehearsed.
So, when we came into Krishna consciousness in 2005 or so, so he was attracted to what we were doing, Maharaj. It's nothing I preached anything to him, but he was attracted to the practices that we are doing, starting with hearing and chanting. And he himself started chanting, and then he inquired further, and he, you know, upon his own interest, he practiced. And same way, he gave it to his wife, and also both were interested, and they've been chanting 16 rounds and regularly hearing, very attracted to hearing and chanting. And then they moved into different places all over the US, and they saw the devotees, associated with various devotees, and most recently they are in Dallas and they're serving there. So, and by your mercy, you gave them the shelter. And
well, specifically in relation to Nityananda, say that part. Speak into the microphone, by the way. They're the host of what? About the Richard program?
Yeah.
Can you explain about it a little bit?
So,
sure.
after Nityananda Prabhu was kind enough to engage them in hosting Bhakti Ruksha regularly in their home, and they are participating in services in the temple, and that way he's engaging them in devotional service.
Yeah. Nityananda is the temple president in Dallas. He not only, their home is the host of the Bhakti Vriksha program, but the person who speaks at that Bhakti Vriksha program is
Nityananda Prabhu.
And I invited Nityananda to make a little recording of some words of appreciation, and now we're going to hear that, I hope. Is it live or recording?
Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmei Shri Guruve Namaha. So I'm very happy to introduce two very wonderful devotees from Dallas, Narendra and Manjari. And they have two wonderful children, Akshaj and Tejasvini. The family moved to Dallas in 2012, very early on in 2012. And within a month or so of moving to Dallas, started a Bhakti Vriksha program, which I personally have attended a number of times. And I'm very proud to say that both these devotees are very nice devotees. They're very sincere, dedicated devotees who do service at the temple as well, with dressing of Srila Prabhupada, helping in the Didi kitchen and other cooking services. So I am really proud that now they're taking initiation, and that they're taking initiation from a person. They couldn't have asked for a better spiritual master than His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj. We're very happy that they're taking initiation. We look forward to seeing them back in Dallas and having our community become a better community as a result of this wonderful event. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Have you heard this recording before? Huh? You heard. What's it like hearing your glorification? over a loudspeaker. Have a little discussion with Sri Vrindavan about it.
Oh, no.
But I know that Nityananda Prabhu has special affection for both of you. He's mentioned this on a number of occasions, and it's not cosmetic, it's very genuine. And so we're happy to welcome both of you in Krishna's family. So you come forward, both of you, and offer obeisances to Prabhupada. Take your vows. Come here, pay obeisances, please. Okay. Yeah, sit, yeah, right here is good. Very good. So, how many rounds you'll chant every day?
60 rounds.
Okay. And the rules that you'll follow?
980, 9 dots and
okay. And for the rest of your life, you'll very carefully make your best effort to follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Yes? Very good. Your initiated name is
Natabara Das Prabhu Ki Jai.
That name, Natabara, can mean different things depending on whether you're a Vaishnava or a Shaivite. But we know that Krishna is the source of everything. Prabhupada spoke in a public assembly in 1972, saying, that's how we began. Natavara means the greatest dramatic dancer. And I want to speak today, greatest dramatic dancer. Watch him dance. So, Natavara Das, servant of Krishna. Okay, so how many rounds you'll chant every day? Okay, and the rules that you'll follow? Okay. Like your good husband, you'll very carefully follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings for the balance of your life. Very good. Your initiated name is now Prema Manjari Dasi.
Prema Manjari Devi Dasi Ki Jai.
Prema Manjari in Kavi Karnapur. You can look this up later. Kavi Karnapur writes in the amongst the associates of Radha and Krishna. Prema Manjari is one of the principal associates of Radharani, one of her dearmost friends. Several times he mentions like that. And have you ever been to Vrindavan? No? One day when you go to Vrindavan, you'll go to the Dar temple, and you see the little rooms where Prabhupada began writing his Srimad Bhagavatam. And then you'll go into the courtyard and you'll see it used to be very nice, now it's something else, but the Bhajan Kutir and the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami. And then way over to the right-hand side, as you're facing the deities, the right-hand side, there's a Samadhi of Bhugarbha Goswami, or Bhugarbha Thakur. These two, Bhugarbha and Lokanath, they went to Vrindavan before Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. They were dear associates of Lord Chaitanya. And Bhugarbha Goswami, according to Kavi Karnapur, is the same Prema Manjari, dear associate of Srimati Radharan. So when you're circumambulating, you can think of Bhugarbha Goswami as your same, as your namesake. Prema Manjari.
So now when we do the yajna, whenever we say swaha, you'll use those grains with these three fingers and put into the fire. Keep your beads aside so you can give it to someone. No? Okay? That's fine.